Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
Good morning. Rise and shine. You're on with the Due Time with Pastor Steph. Are you today? That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? Oh, we had a jamming good time over here on the Due Time with Pastor Steph. We started off Monday shaking the Monday morning blues with our Due Time crew, and we continued our conversation about the dumbest arguments that a couple can have. Oh, we got the one who cleans, who cooks. What difference does it make? Let's band together. And let's get this party started so we can have a full belly. What you think? Absolutely. Oh, this one is an all-time favorite. Wrong directions. Oh, my. The Due Time crew just expanded this one. Well, we thought just driving directions, but they took it to any kind of directions. Dad just never wanted to read instructions when it was time to put something together. And things didn't always turn out right. No. Well, directions, instructions, it's all the same thing. Well, what about the temperature in the house? Oh, somebody's hot, somebody's cold. At the same time, what do you do at this point? Fuss. That's exactly how it goes down. And oh my goodness, the list goes on and on and on. Yes, we still have stuff that's left over. Okay? And we just want to, you know, help you just get on the same plane and stop all that fussing over the dumb stuff. Yes. You know, just focus on more prayer time, and then you wouldn't have to be arguing all the time, right? Right. Okay. Well, we could not end our Monday morning properly if we didn't get our switch tip from Shanti, and this week was pay attention to God. Yes, pay attention to God. Not just pay attention, but pay attention to God. He's talking about all different kinds of things all day, every day. How much are you picking up on? Right, because you're not paying attention to God. You know, everybody says, you know, I've been praying, and, you know, God has answered a whole lot of prayers. But we wouldn't really catch them because we're not paying attention. You know, see, most times we're looking over in the east and God is operating in the west. You know, so it's very easy to miss how God is answering your prayer. How God is trying to lead you. Yeah. So, you know, just bone up. Pay a little more attention to God. Do a little more praying. Do a little more reading. Do a little more studying. Do a little more meditating. and you will begin to be able to pick up on those little things that God is doing. Okay? All righty. Well, we moseyed on down to Tuesday. Let's talk about it Tuesday. And we had our church folk day, and it was great as we got our triangle back. Yes, we have our new individual who's joining our church folk trio, and that is Pastor KL. You know him already. He ain't nobody new. Yes, it's the same old Pastor KL who'll be joining us going forward. Thank God for him. And we're having some good conversation on Tuesday. We had some good conversation, and we talked about those Christian complainers. Oh, those people just can't stop complaining about, again, those dumb, stupid little things that are just so insignificant. And instead of us worshiping or bringing souls to Christ, we complaining, you know. And we talked about the fact that, you know, complainers have very little appreciation. You never really hear thank you. I don't even know if God ever gets a thank you. And, you know, they're not grateful for much. Everything, you know, is you know, what it's not. And, you know, not what it is. And we don't take the time to say thank you to God for the little things he does. Because it's the little things that make up the big things. You know, we can't get a big thing without a whole bunch of little things. Okay? So, you know, we talked about that. We talked about, you know, people who complain always feel they're being treated unfairly. You're not paying attention to me. You don't care about how I feel. I'm letting you know how I feel, and you're ignoring me. Yes, yes, yes. So please don't be a complainer, a chronic complainer. You know, it's one thing to, you know, bring to somebody's attention or awareness something that's going on. But some of the stuff that you hear is really just a bunch of absolute mess. Okay? All righty. Well, we then were faced with a new day. Wow. Wednesday. Yes. God brought us safely through half the week for us to get Vivian's socially conscious segment. That was quite a mouthful. Oh my goodness gracious, she must spend all week getting this stuff together. As we talked about the heroes, yes, the hospital heroes, the medical heroes, where we were cheering them on, and you know, whenever they would come out the building, they were rattling pots and ringing bells and honking car horns and all kinds of stuff. Well, they don't have a job today because they will not get vaccinated. And because we don't know why people have opted not to get vaccinated, you know, everybody will, you know, everybody has their own reason for not getting vaccinated or for getting vaccinated. And because of this, they have lost their jobs. You know, we talked about it. It's a real sticky situation. Real sticky situation going on. And we got that TikTok challenge in Virginia that shut down the bathrooms of the school. What's a principal to do when they tear up the property? Well, shut down the bathroom is what she did, or he did. I don't know how long it stayed closed, if it's still closed, or if mom and dad has now got to come in and monitor the bathroom. Because you can't lock it down for the whole six-hour day. But, again, you know, what do you do when you just see this type of behavior going on in the school? Yes, and all the recalls that went through this week. Pay attention to what you're eating. Pay attention to what you're eating. Well, we spoke to our women of worship. And we had a wonderful conversation with them. And we continued the conversation just extended it a little bit. And, you know, what to do with your child, how to show your child love, just not the wayward child like last week, but just how to show your child love. What do you do? And we talked about just spending more time with them. Yes, spending more time, take them out to dinner, take them out to lunch, and really just, you know, show them that they get some attention, especially those of us who are in the ministry. A lot of times, you know, we're so busy running around, we just don't have the time. So taking them out and spending some time with them, you know, is one thing that we can do to show them that we love them. And take interest in the stuff that they're involved in. I remember my mother was everywhere I went, no matter what I did. She was always there. Always there, and she was the loudest thing in the room. Oh, my goodness. The loudest thing in the room. And always, you know, letting us know that she was there to support us. And that's so important. So important. And we got a new tradition starting today over here on this new due time with Pastor Steph. And we want to call it Spend Time with Your Child Month. Now, we're not going to just do this from October 1st to October 31st, no, but this is going to be launching us spending more time with our children. Okay, now, we're not talking about little people. We're talking about children, period. You know, make sure you take those pictures. If you're just sitting down eating breakfast together, that's big for some people. Make sure if you're going for a walk in the park, just take a selfie. You know, and post it and tag us on Coach for Christian Life and A Closer Walk Christian Network. Yes. So make sure you tag us so, you know, people can see that this is what we're doing, and just send it out to all your friends and, you know, caption it, you know, hey, spending time with your child month. You know, we just got finished celebrating. I see on Facebook, I didn't do it because I don't have any recent pictures of me and my girl, but, you know, pictures of National Daughter Day and National Son Day. So now we're going to expand that to Spend Time with Your Child Day, month, and, you know, create those memories, as Pastor Kim said. Create those memories, okay? All righty. Well, we did have our Techie Talk Dwayne drop in. And we closed with none other than our Faith Over Fear segment with Pastor Charlene. You know, we can't shut down Wednesdays, right, if we don't have Faith Over Fear. Okay, well, Thursday rolled around, Therapeutic Thursday, and we talked about the Madam Maven mother story, where she's just bragging and writing books about how, you know, for over 20 years, you know, she held down the professional prostitution world. Yeah. You know, she called it something else, but that's what it was. And, you know, she celebrates, writing a book about it. You know, is that what we do? You know, we're going to make money off of the crooked life that we live. Well, it's very common. That's how books get sold, because it's grimy things and gritty things that people want to hear. And that's how they sell their books. So, you know, it's interesting to see that, you know, again, we bring up the R. Kelly situation. They smashing him. And we're not saying woo-woo for R. Kelly. So don't misunderstand me. But we're also talking about that imbalance of, you know, you doing what you do versus on that side of the fence versus us doing what we do on this side of the fence. It's an old story. It has always been that way. But I bring it up because it's still going on. It is a story that never ends. And we took the time to celebrate one of our own. Our girl Shantice, you know, who's given us 72 switch tips. And oh my, oh my, oh my, everybody was on for her. Grandma, grandpa, aunties, great aunties, friends, family, due time crew. Oh, we had a fantastic, wonderful celebration. She got beautiful songs out of this day. Oh my goodness gracious, I'm sure she's still reeling from that experience, and I want to thank you for taking the time to show your love. Yes. You know, everybody, you know, everybody ain't sitting at home. You know, people are traveling the world, people are getting ready for work, people are getting their children ready. It was just beautiful to see all the love that was just poured out to her, and I thank you. And that's how we spent our day. And we did our Pray for Them with Kel Mitchell. Yes, you know, Kel, Keenan and Kel, skinny one, plump one, yeah. The funny boys from our hamburger, yeah, and I think it's All That. Yes, I think they were on It's All That, and they did a stint on Steve Harvey. Well, he's a young man who has decided to give his life to the Lord, and he is pastoring. So we definitely lifted him up in prayer yesterday, and we had a good time. We had a very good time, and we thank Shantese for bringing us Kel Mitchell yesterday so we could pray for him, okay? And that's how we spent our week. Make sure you go back and listen. There were so many gems this week. You really, really, really want to go back and catch up on all of those things that you may have missed. And even if you were on, go back and listen anyway, because, you know, sometimes you can hear but you don't hear. You know, you sneezed or went to the bathroom or you went to get that healthy breakfast and you didn't come back in time. Yes. So, you know, go back and listen. We're on demand 24 hours a day. You are never, you know, you're never at the point where you have to be bored, because all you got to do is go back and listen to an episode of It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, I'm sure there will be a whole lot of chuckles going. Listen to yesterday's broadcast. That was chuckles enough. Yeah, Grandma was off the hook. Okay. Well, today God has been so good. He's brought us straight through to the end of the week, and it is Freestyle Friday, where we do whatever we want to do, and we do one thing for certain, and that's bring you the men. Yes, the men have their say today, and oh, we got some conversations to be had. So when I come back, I'm going to give you our news. We're going to go get those pens out, because we're going to continue what we started yesterday with, you know, things to add, you know, things that we can do. We can do to, you know, extend our life. You know, we're not smoking and drinking and drugging and cutting our life short, but we're doing the healthy things that will help us, you know, get a little further in life, have another day, have another birthday. Yes, we want to make sure we celebrate more birthdays as long as we can help it, okay? So go get that healthy breakfast. Make sure you tell a friend, and we'll be right back.
You can't always be there when something happens to a parent or loved one who is aging or has a disability. It's impossible to be there every step of their day, but you can make sure they get the care they need. Whether it's home-delivered meals, transportation, medication counseling, whatever your need, call your local Area Agency on Aging and Disability to find out how your AAAD can help you find care for the ones you love.
Good morning, and welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, and it is Freestyle Friday. Wow, we made it. We made it another week. God has been so good to us. You know, what are you going to do when you think about the things of God? What are you going to do? What are you going to do when you think about how good God has been to us? What do you do with that? I mean, you know, I'm quiet because I'm giving you an opportunity to let it sink in. What do you do with that? Huh? What do you do with that? How do you think about God and not just bask in all of his goodness, all the things that he has done for you, all the things that he did not have to do, but he did anyway, all the things that you wanted and he gave you, all the things that you shouldn't have had that he gave you anyhow? How do you think about how to do this every day? How do you think about doing this every day? Okay, how? I'm just wondering. I'm wondering, how do you sink your teeth into God every day and not just come out like, I owe him everything, and I can't do anything without him, and I wouldn't even consider trying to live without him, just thinking about all the good things, just this one week alone when we could have been dead. We didn't even have to see today. Just this one week alone. We're not talking about the times when we were really ill. We're not talking about the times when we almost got hit by the car. We're not talking about the times when, you know, we could have gotten shot. No. Just every day, just 1 week, think about how great God is. All right? All right. Well, I gave you yesterday, Wednesday, I started with the things, the habits that we can, you know, pick up that will help to, you know, add a couple days to our life as long as we're doing the right thing. Okay? All right. Number six. Drinking that green tea. Yes, green tea is on this list. Okay? Oh, and they say that green tea is phenomenal for keeping down the plaque buildup in our arteries that lead to heart attack, stroke, and vascular disease. Get that green tea in you. And if you haven't gotten green tea in your system by now, after all the conversations that we've had about green tea and that green tea being on every list that we have, man, shame on you. Okay? Number seven, meditation. Meditating on the word of God day and night. How good is this? Why? Because it helps us to make the right decisions. I can always tell when somebody ain't been meditating on the word of God day and night. When you start talking all dumb, when you start getting all stupid, yes, I'm using those words because stupid is actually in the Bible. It says when you reject instruction, you're stupid. Oh, you said, don't be calling nobody stupid. Well, the Bible did. Yeah. So guess what? It is dumb. It is dumb when we think about, I just got finished saying, think about God. Oh, just this 1 week. Think about God just 1 week. Think about God. Meditate on those scriptures that you read. Did you read any? I hope so. If you read one scripture and you took that one scripture and meditated on it all week. Now, I'm not saying stop at one scripture because Lord knows we need more than one scripture in our life. But what I'm saying is if you only took the time to read one scripture this week, let that get plastered into your spirit. Yes, meditate. And it'll help us for making a whole lot of decisions that are really not good for us. Okay? All right. Eight. They say use more olive oil. Yes, 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 yes. Use more olive oil opposed to butter and all the other oils that you can use that are fattening and clog up your arteries. Yes. Okay. They say olive oil is number one for helping to lower your blood sugar level. And boy, 99% of us are walking around with diabetes. So we need everything we need to get that intact. Okay? Well, number nine, healthy snacks. Put away those cupcakes, potato chips, ding-dongs, Twinkies. Yes, put away all that kind of stuff and reach for those nuts, that popcorn. Yes, those things that are going to not clog up your arteries or send your blood pressure up. Or yes, come on, people, let's eat healthy. Get those healthy snacks in your system, okay? I just got finished buying 5 bags of walnuts without the shell from Walmart. And the 8-ounce bag was only like $2 and change. So I said, all right, if I buy 5 bags of that, that's $10, or maybe like $10.50 or $11, right? So think about the big bag of potato chips. Those big bags of potato chips, those big bags of puffy cheese doodles, those things cost like $4. And they're not healthy. They might be a good snack, but they're not healthy. So just, you know, I bought pistachios, I bought trail mix, I bought walnuts. Yes, and I snack on that stuff. And you got to have something to drink with the walnuts and all nuts, because nuts are dry. But listen, get that green tea. Yes, I steep the green tea in these. You know what I use? The huge movie cups. Yes, the big. Yeah, and I think about when I would go to the movies, I would get this huge, huge cup of, what was it? Raspberry iced tea. It was so good going down with the popcorn. But I was like, yo, Stephanie, all that sugar in your system. Oh my goodness. Well, I've traded it in for that same size of green tea and nothing else, just plain green tea. I put it in the refrigerator. I put it in my little jars and I put it in the refrigerator, and that's what I drink. And it's good. It actually, green tea gets colder than water in the refrigerator. Did you know that? Yes. And it's good. It's so refreshing. I get that with my walnuts or my almonds or my pistachios or my trail mix. And look at how healthy that is. And let me tell you something else. It's filling. Yes, it is very, very filling. You don't eat as much. So come on. We got to, you know, we got to turn up the good stuff, turn down the bad stuff. So make sure you get those nuts in your system. And there's so many different types of nuts. There's got to be one nut you like, outside of the crazy people in your life, okay? All right. Well, number 10, gardening. Yes, they say gardening is really therapeutic. And if you notice, a lot of older people get into gardening. And they say that gardening helps to reduce dementia. Yeah. Yep, they say not only because of the physical activity, but because of the mental activity that's going on. So you know what? If you don't have a garden, start getting some plants. Yes, get some plants and, you know, go try gardening. Get your little, flower potting and go get your little packets of seeds and try that. Try it. Yep. And while you're doing that, listen to your Bible. Yes, let that audio Bible play. And it's a nice regimen, okay? So the new 5 I just gave you to helping to, you know, get into those good habits to extend, you know, put another day in your life. Drinking green tea, meditating every day, use more olive oil, snack healthily, get those nuts. And gardening, okay? And they have quite a few on this list. So we're going to continue this list as the day goes on, God's space. And Monday we'll pick up, okay? All right. So, I got some stories for you. Man, oh man, oh man. I got some Friday news stories for you. Well, the first one we're talking about, the Texas teen who claims he may have killed his twin sister while he was dreaming. Yes, talk about a sleepwalking episode. Well, the 17-year-old allegedly stabbed his twin sister to death. Oh, he said he thought he was dreaming. He thought he was dreaming when he plunged a knife into her neck in the middle of the night. Yes. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, he's in the Harris County Jail out in Texas. And he admitted to stabbing his sister in the neck, but believed he was either dreaming or sleeping at the time. Now, you can't be dreaming. If you're dreaming, you would have to be sleeping. So already the story is twisted, okay? Well, listen, this is how he described it. It says, the defendant stated after realizing he was not dreaming, he removed the knife and placed it next to her, turned on the light to the bedroom, applied pressure to the wound with a pillow. Wow, y'all. He's being held in the mental health unit over in the hospital. Okay. He called 911, told them about the stabbing, and he was instructed by the 911 operator to perform CPR and did so until the EMS arrived and pronounced dead. Oh, my gosh. After he stabbed her, he was yelling out to his parents, and that's what they could hear on the 911 call, and that's what they found when they ran into the room. They, you know, did search the house and, you know, did all the kind of stuff, got a warrant, and, yeah, this was his sister, his twin sister, and they said that right now, he has not been known for suffering from any sleep disorders, but yet he hadn't taken any drugs or alcohol. There was no drugs or alcohol in his system. You know, I don't know much about, you know, sleeping, walking, talking, and all of that kind of stuff. But this is some kind of occurrence that happens when you're supposedly asleep. Now, I know my sister has this thing. You know, she's like, I'm not sleeping around anybody who's mad. Nobody who's mad at me. You cannot sleep here. I'm not sleeping around nobody who has an attitude. Yeah, that's her thing. She's not. Well, I guess not when stuff like this can happen. This is scary. If this turns out to be real. You know, and like I said, I can't say it's not real. I can only bring you the news and be just as shocked as everybody else who hears this. Because we didn't all want to sleep around somebody who was mad. And thank God, didn't I just get finished saying 1 week, just this 1 week, give God thanks for what didn't happen. This is 1 week, just 1 week. Here this boy then went to sleep. And now he claims that he had killed his sister in his sleep. Drove a knife into her neck. Oh, my God. Here's my thing. How would you know? If you were asleep, how you know where her neck was? How'd you know where her neck was? At what point did you wake up? When she screamed? Did she scream? Was she able to scream because you just stabbed in the neck? Where'd you get the knife from? Oh, my goodness. How do we sleep at night with a knife underneath our pillow? So did you sleepwalk into the kitchen, get the knife, come back, and stab your sister? Oh, my gosh. I tell you, this is some scary stuff here. This is some scary stuff. Oh, all right. Next story for our Friday morning. Oh. Are y'all ready for this one? You ain't never ready for these stories. And see, some of y'all probably heard these stories already. I don't really look at the news. I don't hear the news unless I go to get the news for you. Mother of decapitated children charged in their killings. Oh, my goodness. Well, out in Arizona, or an Arizona woman is accused of killing her two children who they found decapitated in her Southern California home last year. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, this 44-year-old mom is in custody now, and her 13-year-old daughter and 12-year-old son were found decapitated last December, and the father, who's 35, was earlier charged in their deaths and remains in custody. What's wrong with these parents who kill the children together? Nobody has any sense. Oh, my goodness. They say that the father allegedly killed the children on November 29th, kept the bodies in the home for days, and then showed their bodies to his two other sons. Oh, gosh, I can't. Taylor was charged with child abuse of the surviving sons. Yeah, I guess so, when you're showing them the dead bodies. And they were 8 and 9. They were forced to stay in their rooms without food for several days. So they don't know whether the mother actually helped to kill the kids, or she was just responsible for the decapitation part. What is with these parents? What is with these parents? Oh, my goodness gracious. Wow. Well, we're going to talk about this a little bit here. We're going to talk about R. Kelly's ex-wife, Drea. And the people are, like, reaming her out because she finally made a slight statement about the guilty verdict. Not about the sentencing, about the guilty verdict of her ex-husband. And she says, you know, I have mixed feelings, you know, as a victim of domestic violence at his hands and sitting on this side of the fence as a woman, you know, I get it. I get it. You know, we have to pay the price for the things we do. However, I sit in a real, very difficult place. Because unlike all of his other victims, she's the mother of his children. They have three children together, for those of you who know or don't know. They have three children together. And, you know, they've expressed, you know, how they feel. And I guess it would put you in a real spot. Well, first of all, you know, there's something that I started saying, and now my kids say it to me. You chose them. You chose him. I'm sure that, you know, well, I would like to think that the violence, the domestic violence part didn't start until after you were married. But, you know, she's like, no, that blood is in my kid's DNA. And again, I have to bear the burden of knowing that this is what I brought these children into this world with, this kind of father. And let me tell you something. You think about that stuff. When they all jacked up and they don't do good and they all twisted, yeah, you go, dang, did I really choose that for my kids? Yeah, you do. You do. So she's saying, you know, that, you know, she's in a sticky spot because now, you know, she's not speaking as just a victim. She's speaking as a victim and the mother of the children and having to help them deal with the fact that, you know, their father is, you know, has been found guilty of all of these charges and who has now been sentenced to life. Well, here's why they are dragging her through the mud. Because she's mentioned some of the abuse that she experienced. And she said that there was one time where they were in a car. And they got to arguing, and he took his arm he slammed his forearm into her neck, and it prevented her from breathing. And she said she just was like, oh, my God, I'm going to die here in the back of this Hummer. I'm going to die. And then she said there was another time where he hogtied her to the bed for hours. And, you know, so she had some other stories. And the people are like, okay, shut up. Because if you went through this, why you didn't come out earlier and say this so you could have saved all the women behind you? And so they're not trying to even hear about her woe is me stories, whether it's woe is me because I'm sitting in a bad spot, as a mother of his kids, woe is me because I'm his victim. They were like, no, because you are responsible for all the other women who have been abused after you. And listen, part of that is absolutely true. You don't say anything, so other women walk right into that trap of being with him. However, I want to remind people that we looked at the first series, and there were women, when he was on trial, when he was going back and forth to court for the first set of allegations, there were women who pursued him, met him during that time, and then went back and started dating him. And they knew what he had been accused of. They were going to court to hear and sit in the courtroom and hear it. So I ain't feeling sorry for you. You are, for those of us who walk into it and we don't know no better, that's one thing. But for those of you, you'll pursue this man. Yes. Yes. Not only that, how about the women who went out and got other girls and women, and then they left later, and the one that they recruited was left there. So this goes a little further than being brainwashed. Trust me, let me tell you something. I was in a very abusive relationship, okay? Let me tell you something. And I was young. So hold on to them thoughts right there. I'm finding it really hard to believe that you are all that innocent and all you brainwashed when you can actually literally go out and recruit people to bring them back to go through the same thing you going through. This is sick. You have control. You do. The control is on you. You ain't all that twisted. You have an opportunity to get out of it, especially if you're young. Look at the one who the other day we talked about. She went and recruited got the other girl, and her family member brought it and watched the police chief rape the girl on more than one occasion. So listen, for $100, and then again for $50. So listen, you know, we can't say that these people are all brainwashed and all of this kind of stuff. No. So yeah, they're smashing her. They're not even trying to hear. Yeah, whatever. Okay. And one of the people, you know, one of the females writes, I'm sorry, but I wish Andrea Kelly would shut the F up. She could have saved so many young girls from his dastardly deeds. She knew what was happening in that house. When she got away, she said nothing. She's been opportunistic since the documentary going on reality shows, writing a book. See? Telling you, people ain't buying this. Oh, you got all caught up. And it's true. When you are out, she definitely used the word got away. When you walk back, you have every opportunity then to say something. So I don't know all these people who wait till 20 years later and now everybody can talk. I don't know. But it's about that time. You see, you know how y'all get me all riled up in the morning. That's so unfair. I'm sure my blood pressure is like reading high numbers right now. But it's about that time for us to speak to our men. But before we do that, I want to add to this conversation today Vivian's story from Wednesday. So let's say good morning to Vivian. Good morning, Viv.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you. Thank you for joining us really quickly this morning. And I want to talk with the men about this story that you gave us on Wednesday. Fire away.
Okay. All right, it is, okay, reports say that 17-year-old Caleb Brown has just been arrested for killing his 29-day-old son because he was mad at the also 17-year-old mother of his child for keeping the baby and that he was concerned he would have to pay child support. Brown told police that on August 9th, he squeezed the child repeatedly and threw him into the air several times until the baby hit the ceiling fan. Both he and the baby's mother brought little Emerson to the hospital after the mother noticed the baby was pale and bruised all over his abdomen. Officials say that after investigations of the cell phone and social media records of Caleb Brown, they learned that Mr. Brown was upset that the child's mother did not abort him or give him up for adoption, so he then killed the baby.
Thank you, Vivian. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It just kills us to keep hearing this story, but we got to talk about it with the men today. We talked about it with the ladies. Now we got to hear what the men have to say. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. So we're here. So we got that story. So let's say good morning to our Pastor KL. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. How are you today?
I am well, thank you. I'm well today. Thank you very much. We got some stories to talk about today. Oh, my goodness, these people are... They're just too much. Well, we're talking about the Texas teen who claims he was sleeping and dreaming when he plunged the knife into the neck of his twin sister. What do you think?
I think that is actually horrific. I really, really do. I mean, you know, I remember being a child. I was sleeping and dreaming, and I peed the bed. You know what I mean? But, I mean, that I don't understand how you could be asleep. Go get a knife. Go find your sister. Find the neck and stab her in there. I mean, I don't know. It's too precise for me. That's some type of sleepwalking.
Right.
That is some type of sleepwalking. I mean, you know, sometimes we're a little groggy when we got to go to the bathroom, but, you know, I think Pastor Charlotte said, well, it'd be dark in my house, but, you know, you could feel your way around the house, but you ain't totally asleep.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You ain't totally asleep.
Right.
You know where you're going, that there is a destination, you know, so your mind is conscious of where you're going. Now, when you get back to bed, you might fall right back to sleep, but you're not, you know, it ain't like you're going and get, you know, hamburger meat, making a burger in your sleep. You ain't doing all that stuff. You know, you just not that mentally equipped to be doing all that. And then, you know, as you stab at her, is she not fighting? Is she not, you know, making any noise? Is she not doing anything? You still sleep through this whole thing? And what was the motive? Did you have a bad? Was you dreaming or was about something? Was she, you know, did she tell you off? Did she curse you out? Why did you think you needed to kill her? What was the whole dream about? You know what I mean?
You're right. I mean, these are all the questions that come to your mind because that's the same thing I said to myself. I'm like, well, how you manage to stab her in the neck? You knew where the neck was. You didn't miss it and get the arm, you know, or something like that. And you knew exactly how hard to drive the knife. I agree. It's just way too much. Because I'm like, well, that's why I asked earlier, do you sleep with the knife underneath your pillow so you don't have to go get it? I don't know. Because how you get all of this done in your sleep? That's some kind of sleep. So, you know, now they have him in the mental ward of the jail. And I don't know if he really need no mental ward like that. You know, so I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. But they did say that he had not been diagnosed with having any sleep disorder. but and drugs were not in his system. So, yeah, that sounds like some premeditated garbage going on to me. Ooh, baby. Oh, all right. Let's go to the other story where we talk about mama is charged with decapitating the children after the father killed them and took the other two younger children to the dead bodies and showed it to them. What is going on? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
I guess now the new rule is a family that stays together kills together. That's the new rule. That, I mean, both of them got to be two kind of sick folks. You know what I mean? They can't be wrapped too tight. You know, they got to be one French fry short of a Happy Meal, because there's no way in the world you can do that. And then you do show and tell with the other children.
Yep.
So it's not enough that you killed my siblings. But now you want to show them to me and parade them around to me. You know what I mean? In the disfigurement that they are. This is a problem.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, we're going to hold off on this last little story until we say good morning to our brother Al. But thank you so much for joining us today, Pastor KL. And,
yes, ma'am.
Let's say good morning. Good morning, brother Al.
Good morning, top of the morning, chop of the morning, good morning to you, good morning, Pastor KL, beautiful, happy Friday.
Good morning, sir.
Did I tell you about that before?
What? I said good morning to you first.
I ain't hear that part. I heard good morning, Pastor KL.
I said good morning to you.
I ain't hear good morning, Pastor Steph.
I said good morning to you.
Here we go,
No, I said good morning to you, and good morning to you, Pastor Kim. See, I know you're a bully. I'm glad you're doing it, because you're showing everybody that we was right with your book. I'm glad you're showing. The people always come out, Pastor Kim. Ladies and gentlemen, as I said before, she's a bully, now you see for yourself.
I will not be you, and he be Pastor KL. I am Pastor Steph,
okay.
And you make sure you call me by Pastor Steph at all times.
I got you. Okay, let me redo this so I don't be over from the headlines. So I won't be over from the headlines. Let me do this correctly.
That's right. I might sleepwalk over to your house.
Right. Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you? Happy Friday. God bless you, my sister.
Now, that's the way you do it. Good morning, Brother Al. Good morning.
Ladies and gentlemen, I have been
buried. Chop of the morning. Top of the morning to you. See?
Okay, good. You better not.
Come on, Brother Al. We're talking about this Texas teen who claims he was sleepwalking and dreaming when he plunged a knife into his sister's neck. What is going on in Texas? Is there some kind of aroma floating in the air? What's happening?
Well, plain and simple, he's lying. Let's get straight to the point. Let's forget all the preliminaries and all that. He's lying, and he's taking a serious disorder and trying to use it, because if you never seen it, I had a cousin that straight up sleepwalked, and she scared me. I never forget. I went down south, and I stayed at my family house, and she was there, and I almost hit her because I'm sleeping good, and she's walking around in the dark. And my aunt told me, said, hey, no, don't wake her. It's dangerous. I said, what do you mean? And she sleepwalked, and I sit there and watch this girl walk around the house. I mean, eyes closed and everything. And she walked around, and then she go get back in the bed. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. But in his case, like he said, number one, it's a twin. So was he jealous of that twin? And he had to plot a way to get rid of that twin? You know? And she's getting more attention. She's doing better things than me. I need to get rid of this one. So did he do that? But for you to go and get a knife, and I'm quite sure when you grabbed her, she woke up out of her sleep. Even when you put the knife, she struggled. She ain't just standing there. That's pain. and you was able to do that. And then you wasn't diagnosed with a sleep disorder. So no, he plotted something. No, get him out of that mental place and put his behind bars. He thought a long time about this.
Yeah. I'm in agreement with your brother Al. This just is way too much, especially when they said he was not diagnosed and he did not have drugs in his system. Then this has
to be something that
you calculate. Yeah, this is calculated killing here. This is not, you know, No, not at all. Not at all. I agree with you 100%. Oh, let's talk about the parents. One kills, one decapitates. The other one shows and tells. What happens in your brain as a parent who does this to your children?
Man, you know I love the kids, and I just got cold chills when I was listening to the story. You know, I love the kids, brother. I love the kids, and I just got a cold chill went through my body when I'm just sitting there like, what is wrong with these folks? Now I'm thinking, did you go show the other kids to put fear in them? Like, this could be you if you don't do what I say. Come with me. Let me show y'all what can happen to you if you don't listen and do what I tell you to do. You know, so that now you done ruined those kids for life. Those kids are ruined. That's an image that they will never, ever forget.
Oh my God.
And the parents, they need to be put under the jailhouse. You know how I said, don't even put them in jail. You go by the jail, dig you some holes, and put them under there.
You know what, and I agree. They should never see even the light of day. So being in jail for the rest of their life is just too much privilege. But you know what? How do you find a partner like this? Y'all help me understand. How do you find somebody who is willing to kill your children with you? How do you discuss this at night? You know, do you say, hey, you know what? You know what? I'm going to kill a kid. And you say, you know what? I was thinking the same thing. You know, it's like, is that what happened?
Pastor Steph, you can go in there and say, you know, how do you feel about killing a kid?
It's true. It's like, how does this come up when I know for sure that you down for this type of activity? How does this happen, y'all? The more I think about it, the more I'm like, you know, we ask a whole lot. We've been talking about in relationship rumors and things, the things you say on the first date, the things you don't say in the first 4 months. When does this kind of conversation come up? When? Now, these children were 13 and 12, I believe. Hold on, let me see. I think they were 13 and 12. 13 and 12, yes. The girl was 13. The son was 12. So at what point do you say, you know, hey, you know, it's about time to take them out. Now, we ain't going to touch the little ones. We just going to show them afterwards to put a little fear in them. But we just going to take the first two out because they didn't been here too long. At what point do you find out that your partner is down to kill the kids? Y'all, I'm telling you.
That's insane.
It kind of go like this. It's like pillow talk. You know, say, hey, baby, let's talk. You know the kids are growing up. They're starting to know what we're doing behind these closed doors. They're starting to act them all out. You know, say they're not really going to school like they should be going to school. You know, we got two more. Let's try it over again. But these two ain't working out too well. So let's move on.
Oh, my Lord.
They're starting to eat more food. Like, college is on the way.
We learn from our mistakes.
Oh, my gosh. It's like, what happened? You know, I really, it just hit me today. I'm like, you know, we're finding more and more and more that these people are, because I was really thrown. When I first started reading it and it just talked about the mother decapitating it, but decapitating the children, that was one thing. And then when I kept reading, I was like, wait a minute. The father had already killed the kids, so you came behind him and took their heads off? At what point do we plan this thing? How does the conversation get started? You know, so whether it's, you know what? They growing up and they costing a little too much, like Pastor KL said, if it's what Brother Al said, if it's what I said. What happens? Because it's different when, you know, somebody goes off the deep end and the mother or the father kills, like we're going to be talking about in a minute. But it's like, yo, this is wild and crazy. I don't know, y'all. I don't know. And you always want to know why my pressure is up. That's why I never used to listen to the news.
My question would be, you know, if you already killed the children, why you got to cut the heads off? I mean, children already dead.
Right.
I mean, what is that? Is that a souvenir purpose? We're gonna hang the heads on the mountain.
Right.
Yeah.
He had to get his hands dirty too.
He had to get his hands dirty too. The wife said, "Listen, we in this together. You got to do something too, because if we get caught, I'm
the
only one getting charged. So we in this together."
He's the one who killed the kids. She's the one who cut the head off.
Okay, then vice versa. He said to her, "Listen, we talked about this. You know what I'm saying? If you get caught, I'm going to jail by myself. You got to do something. Oh, but they're already dead. I'm going to figure out something." And she's like, "Okay, I guess I'll
cut the agreement." This was the agreement now.
You better get your hands dirty too. If I go down, we all go down.
I don't understand it. And the scary thought is, they say that he took the 8 and 9 year old to see the dead body. So, did you take them before they got their heads cut off, or after they got their heads cut off? Because either way, it's traumatic. Either way, it's something that they cannot undo. You cannot undo the fact that these kids have seen their brother and sister dead, and they would have to know that you did it because you took them to the lifeless bodies. So I'm like,
but
oh
you
God,
know what?
I hope
in,
you're not.
In the days of COVID, that was just a bedside funeral.
Wow, I guess so.
And you kept the body for a few days.
Right.
So it's like, what were you planning on doing? Trying to get a story together? The coroners could tell you how long the body's been there.
Right, right. There's no secrets after that. And then when she went and cut the head off, that just finished the job. So it's like, what after that, what's the point? I don't know. This is crazy. This is really crazy. Well, we're up to R. Kelly and his ex-wife Drea, and you know the people are angry because they're saying, "Hey, you could have stopped this, even if it was for one other woman or young girl or whomever, but you know you said nothing, so shut up and go sit down somewhere." But what's your thought, Brother Al?
Yes, go shut up and sit down somewhere. What she's doing now is cashing in, because every time she do these stories, now she's writing a book, all that equals money. You know, like you said, you could have stopped this. You know, you could have stopped this. You got your young daughters, because he got daughters. He has no sons. He got daughters. So you could have stopped this and prevented all these other people from getting in this situation. You know, it's like a few of them. Like I said, you know, just looking at the stories, even like the other lady that was his dancer, you know, she was like, "Oh, I seen him doing this, and I know he had a problem." But then you turn right around and bring your little young niece who can sing, you figured to get a record deal, and you basically brought her on a platter and say, "Hey, God, Kelly, here you go right here." So, again, I'm like you. I don't feel sorry. Now, again, people knowing, you know, not knowing, yes, okay, you walked into something blind. But those who know, come on. And what she's doing now is collecting. That's what she's doing. And they right. Sit down and be quiet.
All right. Pastor KL, what you say?
I mean, I agree with it, too. If you wasn't going to be a part of the help, then don't come out now and, like, you know, "Oh, I knew. This is what happened to me." Don't nobody care right now. So, I mean, I hate to say it like that, but don't nobody care right now. You know, listen, if it happened to you, you allow it to happen to you, then you was okay with it. Don't come out there now and want to talk about it. You know, I mean, so many people have been victims, you know, behind this thing if you could have helped one person, then you would have been okay. You know, but what you kept all of this quiet, because you didn't know what the outcome was going to be. And now that he's in jail and can't do anything to you because he's not coming back out, now you want to be the voice. Yeah, have a couple of seats.
Wow. Yeah, it's very difficult. You know, you think about even with Bill Cosby and Weinstein and, you know, these people who come out 30 years, 20 years later, you know, when you hear other women. At 20 years, I'm just going to be quiet. I'm not even going to bother to say anything. To me, it's not even about a Me Too movement. It's just, if I ain't said nothing all this time, you know, if I tell a couple
right.
of people or whatever, that's one thing. But if I didn't manage to be quiet for 20 years, then I might as well not even say anything at this point because I look like an opportunist. I look like somebody who's trying to get attention. I look like somebody
yes,
who's just trying to cash in. Well, what's the point? Like you said, what's the point of saying something 20 years later? You know, you didn't shut up all the time, then continue to be quiet. It just makes no sense to me either. I don't even understand. Like I said, if I want to tell my story, period, that's one thing. But I'm not going to join on the bandwagon of everybody else because, oh, now I somehow got some bravado and was able to say something. This makes no sense to me. Mm. All right, gentlemen. The story of the hour was Vivian's wow news. He has sons. I know, by the way, Al, he has sons. Al Kelly has sons. And we just got there are sons. I didn't know how many yet. I knew there was definitely one. But he has two sons. So... Yeah, you know, not only that, you need to be talking about it so your sons don't follow in the same pattern. Because these things happen.
Right.
So, yeah, you don't say nothing. Now everybody gets it, you know. So, yeah, but for the record, there are two sons. She has three kids for him. I know she does. And I don't know about any additional children, but I do know there are three kids she has. So there must be two boys and a girl. Because I know he has a girl because she's been vocal. And I knew he had one son, but I couldn't remember if the other was a girl or a boy. But two boys and a girl, at least there, in with that ex-wife. So.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about something very different right now. We talked about the partnership in killing the children. But now we're talking about this single-handed, selfish, unthinkable act. And we're going to give this to you first, Brother Al, with what Vivian read. I don't know if you were listening Wednesday, so this made it the second time you've heard the story. But,
yeah, I heard it. I was
throwing
listening.
The baby. This is wild. What do you think?
Man, again, my heart goes out. You know, being all the years that I worked with kids, and like I said, they get on my nerves and I get on them, but I love the kids. And when I see babies and I see how adorable that babies are, it's like, where do you find that strength to kill this little innocent infant? You know, I think maybe, I don't know if it was, but I'm just going with a assume that the mother should have been talking to the young girl, because obviously, okay, she's 17 and I think he was 29 and she
Wait. He's 17. The mom's 17.
Right.
And both of the parents are 17 and the baby was 29 days old.
Okay. Oh, okay. I got you. So what I'm thinking is that the grandmother, should have been talking to the daughter, because obviously he didn't want this baby from the beginning. So that should have been a sign there. I'm quite sure he was a little bit more adamant, like, yo, why are you having a baby? And the mother, I think the grandmother should have stepped in a little bit and said, listen, we need to hold this baby back. This guy already don't want this child. And for him to just actually choke that baby to no more air, then throw him up to a ceiling fan, oh my God, that's just straight the enemy involved, just taking out our children, putting craziness in their heads. So you're basically children having children, you know. And man, my heart just goes out to that man, and I'm just like, I don't even know what to say. I'm just lost for words. Like, I'm just like, Wow, that's insane.
All right. We lost Pastor KO. He has to call back in. Yeah.
Okay.
It's a, oh no, he's here. Here he is. Hold on. Pastor KL?
Yes. For some reason I was getting a bad connection, so I just dialed back in.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So, you know, what's your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this whole story here?
Well, my thoughts is, I mean, they said that the father did it. So I just think that they were just too, well, he was too young. I won't say she was because, you know, she wasn't a part of the plot. But he was too young to deal with that kind of responsibility and didn't know how to deal with it. And I think he just snapped. You know, I heard Brother Al said that the grandmother should have spoken to the daughter. But the grandmother, somebody should have spoken to the son. You know what I mean? Way before this happened. Because if you couldn't take care of yourself, you definitely couldn't take care of no child. You know, I mean, children will bring about stress. You know, everybody says it's a lovely thing, and yes, it is. It's a beautiful thing. But if you're not ready for children, oh, my God, children will bring about stress. Listen, Shantice just turned 36, and I know you're still stressing, Pastor Steph. So, I mean, it doesn't stop. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't stop, you know, because they're 21 weeks or 21 months or 36 years old. You know, I got children right now, and I'm stressing out. You know, not because they're doing anything bad, but we worry about them. So if you can't take care of you, you're definitely not going to be able to take care of no child. And you're a child.
Yep, absolutely. You know, the first issue is children having children. And, you know, you're not ready to have a baby, then cover up. You know, it's always that's always an option. You know, cover up. Now that you get her pregnant, now you don't want, you know, you're not ready, you don't want it. Okay, so then step off. But here's the kicker that I really want to talk to you men about today. This issue of he did not want to pay child support. This is the issue he raised as to why he chose to kill the child. Because he did not want to be forced to pay child support. What is that concept about, Brother Al?
Do me a favor. Come back to me second, please.
Well, Pastor KL, is this a death sentence, a child support?
No. And take it from a man who has paid his time in child support. It's not. You know, first of all, it's an obligation. You know what I mean? Sometimes you come across the other side who's a little money hungry. However, you know, the court cannot make you destitute. You know, you have to you have to take care of that you produced. You know what I mean? A lot of folks are just afraid that the court is going to take all my money. No, they're not going to take all your money.
No.
They're going to take a percentage of your money. And depending on how many children you have, they still only take a percentage. The first child gets the most, and then everybody else gets less. So you got to understand the court system. But my question would be that, could you afford to go to jail for life?
Ah.
I mean, that's what you're talking about. I can't pay child support for 18 years, you know, but I could afford to go to jail for life.
Yep.
That sounds a bit crazy to me.
And that's exactly what my feeling was. I was like, okay, so you ain't never got to worry about paying child support. You ain't going to never pay nothing in your life. You've just given life.
Let me just say one more thing, Pastor Steph, because I know guys who down here in Alabama who went to jail for 7 years because they didn't want to pay child support. Now, understand this. Even when you get out of jail, you still got to pay rent and child support. So here you are accumulating fees because you think that you're beating the system. And then when you get back out, you still got to pay. And if you miss a payment, you're going back to jail.
Yep.
Some folks can't afford to have sex.
You're right. No, you're right. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. To buy that $5 condom would be a whole lot cheaper than all of this other stuff.
Right.
So let me just piggyback off of what you said for anybody who might be listening. I did payroll for 20 years. Okay? Listen to me. You are absolutely right. There is a point
that they give the payroll department, we can't go below a certain amount of money. We cannot put them in poverty. We cannot put an employee in poverty because of a child support order. Cannot
right.
do it. We have the ability. I was given the ability. Payroll administrators are given the ability to draw the line. They give us a workout sheet, and when we do the breakdown, if it brings them above a certain, below a certain percentage of your check, we cannot take that much. We then have to submit what we can, but we cannot put you in poverty. I don't care if you got 90 kids or you got one. It cannot go below a certain percentage of your check because it cannot leave you destitute and in poverty to take care of children because you still have to live. Now, you might be living on very little, but you still have to live. Now, have I had people call? I've had people from the support order in the state call and say, you know, there was a gentleman, they wanted $1,200 per paycheck. We're talking about per month. Two kids, $1,200. And I said to her, I said, listen, I did the breakdown. I'm not sending you $1,200. I'm only sending you like $850, $875 because I can't take that much. I said, did y'all do the workout? Because if you did the workout, you would see. You know what she said to me? She said, I don't care. We don't care. He's going to have to come up with a different somewhere. I said, well, whatever y'all do is on you, but consider your conversation with me done. I can't send you no more than $875.
Right.
That's it. But so the people who are after you, yeah, they don't care. And she was clear. She was like, I don't care. She said, he's going to have to come up with it somehow. I said, well, you know what? That's not our conversation. That's your conversation with him.
Right.
He's going to get another job or whatever. But here, I said, by law, I can't take that much from him. So y'all going to have to work that out. So you're absolutely right. They are limited as to what they can actually get from your paycheck.
And then you have to know, and you have to know who's coming at you. It could be the mother or it could be the state. It could be two different things because, listen, if the mother is getting housing support, you know, Section 8 and all that other stuff, then the state comes after you.
Right.
She doesn't come after you. So you got to know who's coming for you. You know what I mean? Sometimes we just think that she's being low down and she wants our money, but sometimes she's not even the one that's coming. The state is saying, listen, we're supporting your child. We're supporting you, you know, the mother of your child. Now you got to come and give me my money back.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what has started happening with the health care. If the child, if it was found out that the child was getting Medicaid, nope, no more. The state said, we're not taking care of this child health care. They came to us and they said, does this person have health coverage? And there were people who weren't even getting health coverage from us, but they had to go on because
they
were mandating that they now pay for that child's health coverage. So like you said, it's not always food stamps. It's not always the mother or the father, you know, because I did have a couple of women.
No,
you're absolutely right. So now you getting all twisted over the parent. You getting twisted over the child. You don't want to see the child. Men have quit their jobs. You know, Brother Al, are you back? Are you back, Brother Al?
Yes, I'm back.
Oh, okay. So we're talking about, you know, all the different factors that could lead to a garnishment of your check for child support. And, you know, what would you like to contribute? Because we kind of got
I was listening in, and y'all was hitting everything on the head. Take it from a man who knows. And Pastor Kale was 100% right. Someone should have been talking to that young man as well. Hey, listen, you got a child in the world now, so, you know, we'll help you out, but you're going to need to do this, 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 and explain to them, okay, you young, it happened already. and we got a beautiful life. And now you're a father. These are the responsibilities. And it could have been too of him hearing about child support and hearing the badness of it, you know, and maybe his father is paying child support, you know, and he hears his father complaining. And he figure, hey, I don't want to be in that. But you are absolutely right. It's not always time. It's not always the female that's coming after you. I remember with one of my kids, I was getting child support. I didn't even know I had a child. That's the crazy thing. I was down at school and I left, and the young lady was pregnant. I didn't even know. All of a sudden, I see something in the mouth. I'm like, where is this from? And basically, she didn't go to child support. Me and her just lost contact. She was on welfare, and she had, you know, she was on some hard times. And like Pastor Kale said, the state said, hey, listen, where the father at? We sitting here taking care of this baby. Where the father at? And they came and they found me, you know. And I just had to man up and do what I needed to do. And right now, that is such a big thing about this child support. I'm looking at people. You got men that would go as far as quitting a job. And I'm looking at them like, why wouldn't you want to take care of your child? You don't want your child to have a healthy meal? You don't want your child to have clothes? Like, you'd rather go and quit your job. And they think they're getting at the woman, but it's the child, the one that's suffering.
Yep. It's this thought of, you know, she's not getting my money. Because she gets nails done, because she gets her hair done. And we do know that there are women who, you know, they splurge on themselves. But a lot of women feel like, hey, I'm taking care of the child. I'm fronting the money. And now right. I'm just getting recouped from the money that I've already put out. And even though you're sending child support, it's still not covering everything, all the expenses for a child. So,
right,
you know,
right.
You know, of course it's where, you know, this child support, Brother Al, has been, you know, presented as the worst thing. That's why I said to Pastor Kay, I was like, is it a death sentence? Because people have quit their job. Let me tell you something. I know somebody, every time I turned around, he didn't have a driver's license. He didn't have his green card and passport.
Oh, yeah, they suspended that.
Child support, and they revoke those things. They take those things from you for child support. Yep. And it wasn't that he wasn't paying. Again, he lost contact with the mother. He didn't know where she was,
mm-hmm.
whatever, and he wasn't paying because he didn't know where to go. And they smacked, and then you turn around, and once your name is in that system, every time he turned around, it was happening again. He got himself back, and it was happening again. He got the stuff. I was like, yo, you need to take the child and tie it to your hip. And this way you keep your credentials. But, you know,
right.
this is some serious stuff here.
Right. And let me tell you, Pastor Steph, that what a lot of people don't know, and I've been through this. And first of all, this kid is 17 years old. What kind of job do you have when you're talking about you ain't getting your money? That's number one. You're probably still
right.
in school. And you probably ain't even got a job. So what do you, you know, that sound like from him hearing. And, you know,
right.
what people don't know
right.
is, right. You know, what people don't know is that you have to learn and know your rights. You know, just to show you how bad it is when my youngest son, me and his mother was going through things and I wasn't working as much. And I told her, I said, listen, I don't have much, but I can give you this per month. Every time I did something for this child, it just wasn't enough. So I got fed up arguing with her. I went down to child support myself. And I said, listen, me and the mother's arguing is not healthy for the child. Put me in the system. Take whatever money that need to be taken. That way I ain't got to deal with her. You know what they told me? Oh, we sorry, Mr. Bynum. You can't do that. And I'm looking at them like, what do you mean? They said, you cannot do that. The only way we can make this happen, she has to bring you to child support. And I'm like,
wow,
that's something new for me. They would not let me do it. They told me that you cannot. And I said, I spoke to a supervisor. You know, I don't know how it is in other states, but I know here in New York, when I went down there, they told me, they said, sir, you cannot do that. And the lady, she said, that's so noble of you. I said, because of the argument. I said, no matter what, if I buy that boy one pair of sneakers, why you ain't buy two? I'm like, wow. Like, you know. And I said, I got tired of it. It's unhealthy. The child is seeing this. They said, I'm sorry, sir. We can't do that. The only way we can put this order is if she brings you to court. I'm like, wow. I walked out there with my head down. I can't even put myself on child support. What kind of what is this country coming to?
Right.
Well, let me give a little advice for the man and or the woman. You know,
because I'm getting ready. I actually just opened up my thing so we could talk about this on a breakdown. And at the end, if we haven't covered what you wanted to say, then feel free to say it. Okay, so write a note.
Okay,
make a mental note. But I got some stuff because you talked about stress. You talked about, you know, being a parent, it's stressful. And we know, like you said, babies having babies, that, of course, it's going to be even more stressful because they don't even understand the responsibility. So let's start off with the fact that, you know, being a new dad adds on your responsibility, and that's stressful. So get us started, Pastor KL.
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, no matter what the age is, if you're a new dad, first of all, you have this concept on how you want to raise your child, and that, you know, your child's going to have the things that you didn't have, and you're not going to be like your dad is. You know, so you've already put pressure on yourself, you know, to be so much better than what you've seen. And then when seemingly it doesn't go the way that you thought in your mind happened, then now you're frustrated and you're just grasping at straws. You're trying to get 2 and 3 jobs, you know, and understand that 2 and 3 jobs is good, but where is the time with the child? Where is the bonding time? You know, a lot of times the children just want your time. They don't always want your money. They just want your time. But because you have this white house with the white picket fence and Toto behind the yard, and this is what y'all going to do, you stress yourself out even more trying to accomplish the things that your daddy didn't accomplish with you, especially if you're a fatherless child, because you want to go above and beyond. And it's not that easy.
All right. Good start. Brother Al, we're talking about, you know, the fact of a new dad is stressful to him because he has new responsibilities.
Yeah. Like Pastor KL said, you put that stress on yourself. I know I did. I'm also speaking from my experience because, again, you want your child to be the best. You want your child to have the best. You want to raise this child maybe a little different than what your parents done to you, because there's no book on how to raise a child. We raise a child according to how we was raised, things that we felt our parents shouldn't have done. We're not going to do that to our children. And now you got to also stress about, you know, getting money now. This child got to be taken care of. This is milk. This is the Pampers. There's food. There's clothes. So now you stressed about that. Now you got to spend time. So now what happened now? Oh, ain't no more hanging out with your boys. They're hanging out with the boys. No, I got to help her. I got to help this woman raise my child. So now your boy's pressure. Come on, man. You can't come out just one time. You know, hey, I got this baby I got to take care of. So now you stressed about that. So all that stress coming in on you, and then you'll get the crazy ones who ain't got God in their life start thinking, well, maybe if I get rid of this problem, you know, I can be free, you know. And then you got some of these, especially these young parents, they want to keep up with the Joneses. You know, oh, I got to go get my baby some Gucci sneakers. Do you realize in a couple of days his feet going to grow more? His or her feet going to grow more, and those Gucci sneakers is out the window now? And I see that they use the kids as a fashion show. So now they're going crazy trying to keep up this little fashion show with the kids. You know, so now all that stress is there. You know, so you stress yourself.
Absolutely. We're talking about the areas of stress, and one of the areas of stress is you don't get the sleep you used to get. Brother Al.
Oh, yeah, sleep out the window. That's done. You know, that's done. You know, when I had my son was born, you know, being hard-headed like we always are, thinking we know, okay, I'm a father now. I don't need nobody to tell me nothing. And they told me, hey, put that baby on a feeding schedule. But what if he sleep? It don't matter. Wake him up every day at this time and get him on a feeding schedule. I didn't do that. I allow him to wake up when he want to. Now I got to get ready for work. He wakes up, want to eat, and now he want to stay up and play instead of going back to sleep. And I'm looking at the time like, boy, I got to get up. So now that sleep is done. And then, you know, me and the mother would get into it sometime because she's on maternity leave, so she's home all day. And then when I come to the house, you know, I'm dead tired. And so the baby cried in the middle of the night. I don't hear it because I'm out asleep. She's tapping me, telling me to get up. I'm like, but you ain't got to go to work. Why you can't get up? So now there's an argument. There's an argument now. Yeah. Like, come on, now you home all day. You can't get up. You know I got to get up in 2 hours and go to work. You can't get up and get the baby? No, no, you get up. I've been with him all day. So now we arguing. So I'm up anyway. I might as well go get the baby. So the sleep is done.
Wow. All right. Whoa. Pastor KL, is it disrupted sleep? It just could be a bit stressful.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And my life story is a little different. My oldest son, I've had custody of him since he was 3 months old. So I thought I was the reigning king because, you know, I would always hear that fathers don't get custody. So when I had custody, I just thought that I was the man, you know. So I took my son everywhere I went. And my mama used to tell me, put that boy down. You can't keep on carrying the boy. Let him down. Let him down. Let him cry. Nah, my son ain't going to cry. My son ain't going to touch the ground. My son ain't going to do this. My son is a prince. Lord Jesus, why I didn't put that boy down? And when I decided to put him down, he wanted to cry. He wanted to scream. He didn't want to go to sleep. I done changed about 5 dry Pampers. I thought he was crying because he was wet. It can definitely mess up your sleep. Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Brother Al, you touched on it before, but the stress of financial stress now. Let's stick a pin in that. New way of spending money.
Yes. A whole different way of spending money. All the little fancy sneakers you want to get yourself. Oh, no, you're not anymore. That child is first now. You know, and Pastor Kale can tell you, boy, them kids have run through some Pampers. So, you know, I should go to the store. And you learn as you go. You know, when I'm looking at the commercial stuff, okay, you know what? I'm going to get the Huggies. You know, and then I'm looking at, okay, after a while, I'm looking, okay, here we got Huggies here. And it's a box of 16 for $20. But if I get the Toys R Us Pampers, it's a box of $110 for $20. All right, you now are a Toys R Us kid. So you start learning because in the beginning, you want everything perfect for that child. So you buying all the expensive stuff. You don't care how much it costs. I'm getting this. I want my child to have the best. And then you start wearing those options when that money starts running out. So you get financially that. And don't have it where you got a baby that's greedy. My son was greedy. 4 ounces of milk did not handle. I give him 4 ounces of milk. He look at me like I said something about his mother. You know, so 4 ounces didn't work. So now I got this. You know, I give him 4 ounces. He look at me like, for real, but dad, what's this? So now that's even more milk because he was greedy. So now I got the kids are constantly growing. So that outfit that you bought him last week, it ain't fitting him no more. And see, me, I didn't know. Again, not being hard-headed and thinking you know everything as a parent, my parents know you should tell me. Okay, how old is he? He's 6 months. Okay, cool. I'm buying him 6 months, not knowing I should get higher months. So I get him in 6 months. He wear it maybe 2 days, and then it's too small, and I'm trying to put it on. I'm like, I'm putting you on a diet. I just bought you this. But not knowing, he's 6 months. Don't get 6 months. Get 12 to 18. You know, so that whole financial thing changed.
Wow. Pastor KL, finances are not what they used to be when you have a baby.
You better believe it. I mean, I'm just like Brother Al. You know, I was getting 6 months for my daughter, and she was growing out of there. I said, no, you're going to wear this as a halter top or something. But we ain't throwing this away. When she's 6 months with a halter, I don't want to hear nobody about. But, yeah, it's rough. And then, you know, thank God I had a supporting family. You know, my mother and my sister supported me. But for those who don't have one, you got to pay for childcare, you know, babysitting.
Yeah.
And babysitting, I mean, babysitting is expensive. You know what I mean?
And then you got to bring
meals, you got to bring snacks, you got to bring Pampers, and then some babysitting programs won't take them unless they potty train. So now you got to deal with that. You got to figure out how they're going to go to the bathroom, you know what I mean, because these folks don't want to take you. And then, you know, if you have a job that's overnight, you got to find an overnight babysitter, and those are far in between.
Yep, and more expensive.
And they're not doing the average hours.
All right, gentlemen, we're talking about stress, and we're talking about less time that you're going to spend with the mama. So let's talk about you getting along with the mother. You're not talking about not getting along with the mother. You're talking about getting along with the mama. Less time. Come on, Brother Al.
Ooh, Lord have mercy, you hit on the subject. That makes it even harder, you know. My life, oh, God, I should write a book. But not getting along, and you try. And in my situation, I had different kids with different mothers, so I had several baby mamas dramas, you know. And some of them, they didn't like that. Okay, you know what, he's not spending time with me. He's doing this, and he's not spending time with me. So now, heck on the drama with that. And it's just stressful, very stressful. So I had it coming from several different ends. So I would say try to get along. It would make life easier, you know. So I try to get along with them.
All righty. Pastor KL, you're spending less time with your partner. You know, that's the time you want to spend, but you can't spend no more because there's a third party in the middle.
Yeah, that's like going out on a date with a third wheel. You know, and there's always somebody in between you. You know, and then if you were like in my era, you know, my era, we really didn't deal with cribs. We had cribs because they said we were supposed to have a crib. But the baby ain't sleeping no crib. I slept in the crib more than the baby did. You know, the baby was between me and the partner. You know what I mean? So, and then, you know, because I'm a big guy too, when it was time to breastfeed, he didn't know who to go to. There's a problem. But sometimes you want to cuddle and you can't cuddle because monkey in the middle. You know, so that could be a Debbie Downer. A Debbie Downer.
Wow. Here's something that I want you guys to really kind of talk about. We got a couple of minutes left, but I want to really talk about this one because this can feed exactly what happened with these young men. They say depression. As a new dad, you go through, you know, we look at the moms as always having the postpartum depression, but dads go through it as well as first-time fathers. Brother Al.
Okay. Can you say that last end? They were talking a lot, so we got to hit that last part.
I was saying, you know, mothers are known to go through postpartum depression, but new dads, it's very common with new dads to go through depression as well.
Yes. Especially if you got a good father who say, you know what, I made this child and I need to take care of this child. And then one of the biggest thing I believe is finance, because it's like, wow, you know, this baby need this. I'm not getting enough money to take care of this baby and pay my rent and stuff like that. And you start getting depressed, like, man, you know, well, I ain't worried about me. I can eat another day, or I can dress me. I got some clothes that look decent. This baby is my main focus, and I'm not able to do it properly or do it up to my standards. So now you get depressed behind that.
Okay. Pastor KL, you know, they say depression is a big area, you know, that comes from stress about this new arrival.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know, as Brother Al said, financial depression for a man on any level, you know, is a big thing. Because you turn around and the baby needs Pampers again. The baby needs Similac again. Or you buy a bunch of Similac and then all of a sudden the doctor take him off of Similac and put him on something else because it doesn't agree with the baby. And now you have to figure out how you're going to spend another $30, $40 for something else. Now you got all this milk that you couldn't use in the first place. So it gets at your psyche. You know, get that, and then you start blaming the doctors. Well, why the doctor ain't know this in the first place? This and this and this and this. And, you know, you the mama, why don't you just breastfeed all day? You know, and it starts taking its toll. It really, really starts beating you up. You go out there, you try to find a job, and everybody's not paying what you want them to pay you. You know what I'm saying? You get minimum wage, and minimum wage is not going to cut it. You know, and instead of trying to figure out how you could work it out together, you clam up and you shut down. You know, men shut down. Men don't really express how they feel or what's going on, so they shut down. And then in their mind, they're trying to figure out a get-rich-quick scheme, you know, to make it or provide for the baby. And sometimes those get-rich-quick schemes is not legal. So we end up doing other things and putting ourselves in more stress, you know, because now we got people looking behind our shoulder, or we think somebody's after us, you know, all because we're trying to take care of this one situation.
Wow.
And you know, you know, Pastor Steph, I would like to add to that, that we didn't really touch on about distress for a father. Now, all fathers want sons. We love a daughter and everything, but we all want that son. Now, here's a stress that a lot of people forget, too. Now that child is born, and that child is born with a disability. Now, that whole game changes.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because we look for our child to be perfect. You know, when the baby come out, we counting toes and fingers, you know, making sure
right.
that he got everything. And now that this child got this disability, that child need even more attention. So now you may have the mother who can't work now because she got to stay with that child. She got to stay with that
right.
child and learn about what's going on and doing that. Now the pressure's on the father again, you know, where I'm
right.
the head, you know, I got to take care of this. I got to do this. And like Pastor Kale said, this job ain't paying what you need, but you ain't got another job yet, so I got to deal with this. I got to throw these extra out. Now, the mother, you come home, the mother's stressed because it's very stressful. I work with disability kids, and let me tell you, I be with them for an hour. It is very, very stressful. So now you come home to the mother, and now she getting on you about, hey, take little Junior for a while. I've been with him all day, and now you dead tired because you didn't put in about 11, 12 hours. Hey, but I've been working all day. Now here come the stress and the argument.
Wow, good point, Brother Al. Good point. Pastor KL, would you like to add to that? Good point.
I mean, yeah, that is definitely true. You know, we talked about this before. You know, it's hard for you know, I guess for a lack of a better term, a normal child. You know what I'm saying? Now you have disabilities, and depending on what the disability is, the need changes. You know, and you're not equipped, you know what I'm saying, because all through the 9 months, your expectation was something totally different. And now you got going for a loop. You know what I mean? And everybody's world right. changed. Like Brother Al said, the woman now has to stay home because of the special needs. You know what I mean? So everything kind of shifts. And now, yeah, when you come home, she's tired. So she wants you to kind of, she want to, you know, pass the baton. But one, you don't know how to deal with it. And you won't explain you don't know how to deal with it. You won't get rid of the child because that's your child. But you don't know how to deal with the child, you know, and then you don't know how to deal with the child when you're tired. It's already frustrating when you're tired, you know what I mean? And now you have
right.
to deal with a special needs child. So that can be another form of stress, you know, because
right.
now you're working just so that you don't have to be in the house, because until he
right.
can be able to tell
right.
me something, what's wrong, you know, when they're babies, even as a normal child, you know, I hear people say, I'm not babysitting until he's able to tell me what's wrong, until he's able to walk. You know what I'm saying? So
right,
so now you have
right.
to figure out what the child needs from a disability standpoint. You barely knew what he
right.
needed, you know, or what he was crying for when the child was normal. Now the child has special needs. Now you got to be a psychic.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's true.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And I'm sorry, Pastor Steph, and to add to that, from, you know, I'm always doing these classes to keep updated about things. And everything that we just talked about, it said that is the majority of stuff that leads to shaking baby syndrome. Because now this
yeah.
baby is crying, and you don't know why
right.
this baby crying. Now you pick this baby up, and you don't mean, that's why when we had that conversation, not all of them are monsters. You don't mean it. You're just stressing that baby crying, and you're trying everything in your power to stop that baby from crying, and you pick him up, and you just maybe shake him a little bit. Don't mean no harm, but forgetting that baby brain is not stable yet. So now, like, you shake that baby, that brain then moved around, and now you got another issue.
Right, right, right. Very much so. Very much so. I want to move into your closing, gentlemen. And Pastor KL, if it whatever has not what you wanted to say, if it, you know, you feel free to say it now. But we want to talk about all the things you do to prepare for this child. You know, you don't wait till the child comes. But let's get prepared as a dad. You're talking from a dad's point of view. You know, what? Just take this point, take this advice, and get prepared to have this child. Brother Al, that's your closing.
Okay, thank you much, Pastor Steph. Prepare. You would never. Hey, look, I don't want to get bullied, so I'm okay. You never could be fully prepared, but to start preparing yourself, start putting some money away, okay? Start buying items that you know the child going to need, like child always going to need Pampers. Now, you're not sure on the milk yet because sometimes, you know, the doctor will give different milk, and that's something that you and the mother should talk about. Baby, do you plan on breastfeeding? You know, read about it. Breastfeeding is the most healthiest milk. Do you think you'll be up to breastfeeding? If not, we need to start making plans for milk. Start buying stuff that you need. You know, start now, crib and all the stuff that you need. Start getting that stuff in order now. So now when this baby comes, you somewhat prepared. You got the clothes. You got this and that. And I would say the biggest thing, people will laugh about it, but your money a little tight. And you say, wow, I need some things like that. I'm telling you, and I'm going to say it, and I'm going to be real. Have a baby shower. That's going to take care of a lot of your problems right there. Get your baby shower going. You know, so let's keep it real. Get your baby shower, and that's going to help you out right there alone. And communicate. We've been saying this since the beginning of talking on this show. Communicate. You and the mother have to be. Communicate. Hey, listen, you know what? I know I work this day, this and that. I'll do this with the baby. And, you know, some of it may change, but at least you got something in order that you guys can go by. And show that baby all the love that you possibly can.
All right. All right. Thank you so much, Brother Al. Thank you so much. Pastor KL, what's your closing today? You know, if you want to add, we have not spoken about what you wanted to say earlier. Say that first, please, and then give your closing with, you know, get prepared by doing what?
Okay, well, what I wanted to say earlier is that for the men and all the women, depending on which side you are on, if you're not getting along or if you're taking care of your child, you know, separately, make sure whatever you buy, you keep receipts. And I'm telling you this from experience. You know, I've kept receipts from Pampers, from clothes, from food, from whatever. Because what happens is that the other side says, okay, now I'm taking you to court because you don't do nothing. And then when you go to court, if you can present these receipts, then you make them a liar. So be prepared with that. You know, you need to be able to cover yourself. So cover yourself with that. So as far as being prepared, from the time he or she says we are pregnant, you know, at that point, there was a child involved. So at that point, mentally, you have to start changing your whole perspective of things. You know, you can't run out and get the Jordans now because that $267 pair of sneakers, you could use that money for something else. You know, a lot of folks would tell you, especially the people from the island, you know, don't buy clothes before the baby comes because that's bad luck. You know what I mean? So. I say go out there and buy it because you're going to need clothes because it's bad luck if the baby's naked. You know, that's another thing. Brother Al said definitely have a baby shower. Let me tell you something. Baby showers are good, but don't count on baby showers, baby, because they're not going to always bring you what you need. So you got 9 months to prepare. Get yourself a closet and just keep on putting stuff in the in the closet, you know. If you have a baby shower, the thing that I'll be asking for my baby shower is Pampers. Everybody in your family need to bring a box of Pampers. You can't go wrong on Pampers. Just keep on bringing the different stages, newborns, to the ones, twos. Just keep on bringing them. There is an expiration date on them, but there's a long expiration date. They don't dry rot for a while. So I mean that's one of the good things to do. You know, again, we can't do milk because we don't know, you know, what type of milk the baby's gonna be on. But y'all need to come together and have goals and say, listen, this is what we want to do for the child. You know what I mean? Let's start a college fund. You know, there's a lot of things we need to speak about before the child even gets here. So we're not like, wow, we got a baby. What do we do now? You can't leave the hospital without a car seat. You just can't. You can't leave the hospital. Back in the days, you can take the baby and put it in your arms and go home. You can't do that no more. And then back in the days, they used to keep you in the hospital for a week, 2 or 3 weeks. Uh-uh. As soon as you can move your bowels, you're going home. So you don't have time, you know, saying to say, okay, I'll get a car seat next week when we get ready to go home. No, first of all, your due date may not be your due date. What if the child comes 3 weeks earlier? You know, you got to be prepared. You know, you have to be prepared. So, you know, sit down, let's talk, you know, let's get the family involved. You know, everybody, you know, it takes a village to raise a child. So let's get everybody involved and go to your elders who have been there before. You know, a lot of us have had children at young ages, so we know the struggle. So go to them and see what they've done, you know, to be successful with their children.
All right. Gentlemen, you have done a fantastic job one more time sending us into the weekend with something to think about and a lot to digest. Thank you so very much for just blessing us. And we pray you have a blessed weekend. Thank you.
You do the same. You do the same.
You too. God bless you.
All right,
God.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. All right. Why am I frozen here? Okay. You know, I've listened to everything that the men have said today, and they have really blessed us. Before we go any further, let's get this benediction here. 2 Corinthians 13:11. Finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration. Comfort one another. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Amen. So they've given us a lot of good, solid advice. And, you know, I want to touch on this generation here that we have and to think about how, you know, he must have heard, this young man must have heard about how bad child support can get, and before I can get there, I'd rather just take the child out of here. I've already said I don't want the child, and she's not listening, and, you know, I'm not going to have all the stress on me. And, you know, there's something about this generation that's much different than the previous generations, and that they don't like to listen. You know, Pastor K.L. said, you know, ask someone. I have never seen a pocket of people who don't want to listen. They have got to learn everything on their own. Why put yourself through that? Ask, just like Pastor K.L. said, you know, we a lot of us were young parents, and we know a couple things. We know not everything. And yes, times have changed, but you know it's worth asking, because as said, it takes a village to raise this child. It is not going to be about what you think. It's not going to be about what you feel. It's not going to be about, you know, I remember my middle girl telling me, you know, I'd rather figure it out myself. And I just looked at her, and I'm like, what a dope. I'll be honest. I was like, what a dope. Who lives like this? With a life. You know, with a life. You know, they are internet people. You know, we spoke to the millennials and the ones that's a tad bit under the millennials, and they talked about the fact, you know, some of them said they'd rather go to the internet to hear and to find out the information opposed to going to people that they know. You know, and that I don't understand. You know, that's what they do. That's what they feel. That's what they think. And, you know, that's the tangent that they, you know, that they will go into, because, you know, they don't have They still want their cake and eat it too. You know, they want to be able to buy the Jordans, and they want to be able to, you know, buy the Jordans for the baby too. And it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that at all. There is some, you know, give and take that, and you're going to have to take from yourself and give to the child. It does not work the way we want it to work. And that's what happens with these younger people. You know, they don't want to ask questions. They don't want to follow advice. It is what they think it is. And they're willing to suffer the consequences if it doesn't turn out the way they want it. They don't want to work for minimum wage. They don't want to have this type of job. They don't, you know, they don't want to sow any seeds. They don't want to dig their fingers and get in the trenches and work first to build. It's something about this set of people, and it doesn't surprise me. Not the way he killed the child, it definitely was very breathtaking, but it doesn't surprise me that this is his thought process. Because I don't want to pay child support, opposed to getting to an older person and asking, you know, listen, I brought this baby in this world. All I've been hearing about is this child support thing, and you know, I'm scared. You know, I don't know what to think. I don't know what to feel. I don't know which way to turn. You know, I didn't want this baby to begin with. And I will share this. I remember that I was told the same thing. And I have not spoken to the person since. Yeah, and I told you I'm 36, 31, and 23, God spares, next week. And never spoke to me again. And I was like, well, I don't care. I have my own job. I have my own house. I don't need nobody else's money. But let me help you understand something. That's the life you're bringing into this world. And it took me decades before I caught, you know what? You were very selfish. You were very selfish. You know, I'm not saying I should have aborted. But again, you know, you have to plan. You have to think. And all of that is planning. All of that is planning. You know, I didn't care. And it didn't at the time. But then later, I said to myself, I said, Stephanie, that's not the way God designed it to be. He didn't design it for us to do this by ourselves. And when you made the decision that, hey, you know, I don't need that person because I got my own money, my own place, I can do my own thing. What happened to that child? What happens to that child who wants that father or who wants that mother? Like Pastor KL said, you know, two of his kids he had because the mothers didn't do what they were supposed to do. So it's not just the fathers, but that's something, that's part of planning. And, I God always said, you know, I got to put myself in all business out there. But, yeah, I'm letting you know. I had everything I needed to raise my child. I never thought about what she would feel when she was only with one parent. Did she look around at other kids and want to be in a two-parent home? I didn't care because I had my own. You do what you want to do. I do what I want to do. And, no, that's not part of planning. So when we talk about planning, we're giving you some solid advice here. That whole thing, before you even get to sexing, plan. What happens if, what am I going to do? All right? So take that advice from three seasoned people and plan properly. Do what God says do. Do it the way he says to do it, and it will be done in the proper manner. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit. As you go through your day, be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth, because they will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. Here's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, the gentlemen who helped us walk into this weekend, with a whole lot to digest. Thank you for listening and spending the week with us. please accept Jesus as your personal Savior right now, because later is not promised to us. Until Monday, where we're shaking the Monday morning blues together, God spares life. I love you.